Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Promptings with Cody B. I'm Cody Bateman. Welcome to the show today. I've got a great guest for you today. An incredible guy. I'm very, very honored to call him a friend, Mr. Bob Berg, the best-selling author, along with John David Mann, the Go Giver series. In fact, I want to tell you a little bit about this guy. While part of a four-book series, The Go Giver itself has sold more than 1 million copies and been translated in 30 languages. This is a major league guy we got on with us today. It was rated number 10 on Inc. magazine's list of the most motivational books ever written. I mean, think about that, ever written, and was on HubSpot's 20 most highly rated sales books of all time. Bob is the founder of the Go Giver Community Network, the first of its kind online business community created by and for Go Givers. He's an advocate and defender of the free enterprise system. And we talk a lot about that on this show today, about what free enterprise means today and how it helps you to act on your prompting. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that. You know, we talked about he and I and Ivan Meisner. We shared the stage a few years back. All of us have our own model that's very similar. You know, he's the go-giver, Ivan's giver's gain, and we've always been give for the sake of giving. And so we share very, very mutual messages throughout the world. So I really hope you enjoy the show. Stay tuned and learn about the power of giving. Thanks, everybody. There he is, Bob Berg. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Cody. Always great to be with you.
I love the setting you have there. You got, obviously, you do a lot of these, the big microphone in front of you. We're ready to roll, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, it's sure an honor to have you on the show. I remember when we first debuted the Promptings podcast, this new show format, you know. The producers came to me and said, who are the first people you want on the show? And I immediately had a list of 5 to 6 people and you were on it.
Wow.
Thank you. For sure. I mean, because your mission has always been completely in alignment with what we're about and vice versa. In fact, I remember, you and I spoke together at a B&I event with Ivan Meisner.
Yeah,
I've got a picture of the three of us, and our producer might put it full screen for our YouTube audience. But there's the three of us at this B&I event, and we spoke together at that event. What an honor it was to share the stage with you that day, and again, just always love your message. So.
Thank you.
That was in 2019. So the pandemic hit kind of just a little bit after that, and the whole world changed, didn't it?
It really did, didn't it? Yeah.
So speaking of, I mean, what, because you've you travel the world, you know, we mentioned in your bio about your book, The Go Giver. It's absolutely amazing. You know, you've got a series of the Go Giver books, sold over 1 million copies. And of course, that takes you all over the place teaching your message. What did the pandemic, how did that change things for you? Obviously, you probably went virtual like everybody else, but talk to us a little bit about your pandemic era. What happened during that time for you?
Well, you know, I have been for the last few years getting off the road more. So whereas I used to be on the road quite a bit speaking, the last 5 years or so, I'd say the last 5 years before the pandemic, I'd been decreasing my travel schedule anyway.
Well, and good so, for you. Good
yeah,
for
well, you. I mean, I'm an old guy now, you know, so it's you can do those things when you get a little older. And so it's not that I don't love the speaking. I've always loved the speaking, always loved being on stage, but I've never really liked the travel part of it. And so I started to wind down on that part. When the pandemic hit, you know, like everybody else, all the other speakers, my schedule totally dried up. But I'm kind of lucky in that, again, I'll credit this to being an old man. I you know, it didn't affect me as it did a lot of people. And I did do a lot of virtual. I'll tell you what, though, I love doing the virtual keynotes. I would have loved for them to really continue, but I think people are now so over the pandemic that people want those in-person events again. So, you know, while I'm still doing some, you know, not as many as I used to, but still doing some. But you know, I could sit here every day and just do virtual keynotes. And,
yeah, it's interesting. We thought for a while maybe this virtual thing will stick, but we're kind of same with you. Is, you know, we're doing live events again and going to live events. And in fact, I kind of want to talk about that. You know, the people in general, we as human beings, there's a huge need for community.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's just such a massive need that we have to interact with each other. And I think the pandemic and coming out of it really portrayed that, you know, in a lot of ways. It's kind of like we thought the virtual was cool for a while, but then we started, I need to go sit with somebody. I need to go see somebody, you know. What is it about human behavior that makes us that way? I mean,
we are social creatures, and I think it has, you know, like anything else, it probably dates back to the cave person days and survival and so forth. But, you know, even if you look at the findings of Professors Edward Deci and Richard Ryan of self-determination theory, their University of Rochester behavioral researchers. And they looked at, you know, the human being's natural tendency toward growth, and especially as it relates to on the job. Daniel Pink referred to them a lot in his book Drive. And he looked at what really people, how they thrive and grow in a work environment. Okay. And there are three aspects. One is autonomy, which is a sense of self-ownership, freedom, liberty, which we know how important that is in terms of human nature, right? And that's why people will leave unfree countries, risk it all, leave it all behind to come to a more free country with nothing in order just to have that opportunity for autonomy, freedom. It's so important. Another is mastery. People want to be able to be in a position where they can learn, grow, master their craft, feel good about themselves. And that's a second. But the third aspect, the third element of growth in a business environment is relationship. Yeah. People want to be somewhere at a place that they go to every day or 5 days a week, whatever, where they feel part of something. They feel part of something bigger than themselves. They enjoy the people they're around. They have a sense of family, a sense of community. And I think that is one reason why, you know, online can never, and it shouldn't ever, replace human touch. Online is really only a tool for building and deepening those relationships. I think that's one reason why send out cards has been so very successful. You know, you think about, you can text or email anybody a thank you, right? But when you actually send them something that they receive in the mail, they touch, they feel, they open up. And then they see maybe a picture that you've put together for them or something. And then on the inside, there's something handwritten and beautiful. And so, you know, that's human. That's human nature. And I don't think we ever will get past that. And I hope we don't.
A need for connection, you know,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Beautiful. Yes, exactly.
In fact, some of my shows just previously, I had an interview with Margie Alaprandi. And
love her.
She's a great, great lady. Wow. We had a great interview, lots of fun. But we started talking about the concept. My wife and I had been talking about a concept of three basic needs that humans have. And starting as a baby that comes out of the womb, we just had our 10th grandchild born, so we're really big into babies right now. You know, there's a lot of grandkids and stuff. But what my wife and I were talking about, and then I took it to the conversation with Margie, was when a human being comes into this world, my observation right now is there's really three basic human needs that a baby has. obviously they need food and water, they need shelter and warmth, and they need love. So the question is, which do they need the most and which has to come first? And that's a question, and everybody has a different answer, because you might immediately think, well, they got to have food, they're craving the food the second they come out of the womb. But is that, see, my wife's theory is that the need for love always comes first. That baby needs to be coddled and loved first before anything. Now, her as a mother, she adamantly believes that, maybe smart people will do studies one day to see. But the reason I bring that conversation up is three basic human needs: food and shelter and love. Food, shelter, love, basically, if you want to really condense it. And so it kind of ties into what we're talking about. The people's need to, for community, need to connect, is so important. It's as important as putting food in your stomach, as having shelter over your head. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why your message, the Go-Giver message, has been so successful, because you kind of bring that home. People's our need to give to people and people's need to receive that love and connection. Does that make sense?
Oh, my goodness. It makes a lot of sense. John and I in the story, we talked, at the end, when we're talking about the law of receptivity, Pindar, the main mentor, says to Joe, that he took him through an exercise, because Joe was, again, talking about the messages that we get from the world around us that are very anti-prosperity.
Right.
And that, Joe was brought up with and subject to those same messages, from everywhere. And Pindar said, just try to breathe out. And once you've exhausted that, continue to breathe out and hold that outgoing breath for 30 seconds. And, within a few seconds, Joe is starting to gasp for air. Well, what's the matter, Joe? Can't you do it? Well, no, I can't just breathe out. But Joe, Pindar says, it's been medically proven, scientifically proven, that it's healthier to breathe out than it is to breathe in. And Joe said, that's silly. You can't do one or the other. You've got to do both. Oh. Well, aha, right? We breathe out, we breathe in. We breathe out carbon dioxide, we breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving a value to everyone, giving a value in terms of time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, right? We breathe out and we breathe in, which is receiving. And really, as you're talking about, giving and receiving are really simply two sides of the very same coin. Now, many would want to have us believe that they're two totally different concepts. You're either a giver or a receiver. Well, no, it's both, right? To say otherwise is the false dilemma, the unnecessary use of the word or. No, you're not a giver or a receiver. You're a giver and a receiver. But what we know is that the giving comes first. It's a law of the universe. It's a law of nature, human nature, but also physical nature, right? We plant before we harvest.
Yeah,
we sow before we reap. We give before we receive. But both of them need to, to work in tandem. And again, that's, just a reason that I think Send Out Cards, again, it touches such a heart, such a chord with so many people, because, what's a nicer way to give than to show someone you were thinking of them? Right. Yeah. I mean, is there a nicer compliment for someone just to know that you took the time to have something? And again, it goes back to your promptings, which happen constantly, all the time. Right.
Yeah.
But we've got to be aware of them and we've got to acknowledge them when they come.
Well, we talk, I've recently released the Promptings Process ebook, and we have independent affiliates that use that to bring people into our community and into our family. And one of the things I talk about in the book, I have what I call a promptings loop, and our producers will probably put it on screen for our YouTubers, but we have this promptings process loop, and it talks about two kinds of promptings. The inner prompting is your inner voice that speaks to you and who you are as a human. We know our own genius before anybody else does, but you have to listen to that voice. Then the outer prompting is what you do with who you are. That's how you reach out to others. We created you keep mentioning send out cards. We created send out cards as a mechanism to act on the outer prompting to, like you said, breathe out. We have a mechanism to breathe out or to act on our promptings and reach out in kindness to others. But what you send out comes back. What you send out comes back. So as you create this appreciation energy that goes out to other human beings, you create connection, but that same energy comes back into you and nourishes your inner voice. Yes. And so our whole thing is we get this positive energy moving and by reaching out, and then it comes back in. And so that's been kind of our methodology. So, you know,
it's the key is being open to that receiving when it comes back in.
Exactly.
And not resisting it. And that's where, you know, so much and where, you know, and one of the great prosperity teachers of this age, Randy Gage, you know, talks about those internal messages that we have and how, again, what I call anti-prosperity messages. And he talks about, you know, so much from the world around us teaches us such negative messages about receiving, right? And we think, well, if I receive, I that must be bad. That must be a negative. That must mean I'm being greedy, or that must mean I did. No, we need to so get past that and allow the positive messages of prosperity to, you know, to be what we really tap into. Because, you know, when we're putting out so much great giving, if you will, breathing out, what we're doing is, and this is when we genuinely and authentically really want to touch someone's life in a way that builds them without an attachment to what you're getting back. Okay. What we've done is created what we call the benevolent context for your success, and it will come back to you. Okay. And at the same time, we need to be able to embrace it, always with gratitude, always Absolutely. With appreciation. We need to embrace it, not push it away.
Yeah, going back to the picture of you and I and Ivan Meisner, one of the cool things of being on the stage together is all three of us had kind of the same motto, just in different words. You know, he's always been giver's gain. You've always been the go-giver. And we've always been, give to give, give for the sake of giving. And you mentioned without expectation of anything in return. And that's the key. You give for the sake of giving, period. And the law of reciprocity kind of works its way back. And you have to trust that. So you just become a giver. Just become a giver. And we say all the time, find out who you are and give yourself away to humanity, to other people. And that's what I love about your book, The Go Giver, is that messaging is very loud and clear there.
Thank you. So well, you know, I was very privileged to write that with, to co-author that with John David Mann, and you do, John. I mean, he's a brilliant writer, storyteller. I'm a how-to guy. I'm step one, step two, step three. But so it was a great collaboration and so much fun to, you know, to write that with him.
You know, that's one thing I've always noticed about you. It's interesting when you co-author a book, you know, John goes out and does his stuff and you go out and do your stuff. One thing I've always noticed about you is the second we refer to Go Giver, you instantly always mention your co-author's name. And I just really respect that about you, that, you know, it's not about I, it's about we. Isn't that part of the messaging as well? You know, it's.
Ooh, I love how you said that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just putting it together. Now let's talk a little bit about just kind of the stuff you're doing. I know that I'd love our listeners to go check things out. You have, I know you have a website, burg.com. Just go www.burg.com. You've got some cool stuff going on right now. Just share with us a little bit about what you're doing and how you're helping people.
Well, thank you. I've been doing a 5-day a week, what we call daily impact email, where I send out just a message that people can read. It's not very long, but they can kind of take throughout the day for inspiration and just to think on during the day. And there's usually one thing to kind of think about and practice and so forth. And that's, you know, it's anybody who can sign up for that. We also have my business partner, Kathy Tajanel, and I have what we call the Go Giver online community. And that's just a lot of fun. That's just people who want to, from all over the world, who want to live their lives, conduct business the Go Giver way, looking to bring immense value to everyone in the group while they make themselves available to receive as well. So, you know, again, going back to age, Cody, I know I brought this up a few times, but, you know, as I get older, I just want to do things that I find fun. Yeah. And I think the community aspect is so much fun.
Yeah, no question about it. I know in the pre-show, you mentioned one of your students is big with us. I want to mention her.
One of the members, her name is Lisa Wilbur.
Yeah.
She was one of the very top earners in the world for another company. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, but she had utilized send out cards while building her other company, just because it's so complimentary. I mean, she's such a giver. I mean, she's just somebody who is always thinking, how can she make another person's day brighter? But now I think she's also kind of really teeing this up and building it pretty big, because she is known throughout our community, throughout our online community, as sending, you know, not only the cards, which she does a wonderful job of really personalizing it, which you all make it so easy to do, as well as many of the gifts. And by the way, she has a podcast, which is video. And to every guest, she sends out afterwards a send out card with a brownie. And she always asks, or another treat, and always asks for the flavor. But, you know, I always say, because whenever somebody wants to send me a send out cards brownie, I always say, do not send it, because I'm always trying to fight the weight battle. So please, absolutely, positively, do not send me one of those brownies unless you really want to.
Well, hopefully there's somebody you can pass the brownie off to.
Oh, no, it's not getting passed off. No, I'm talking a big game of not it, but no, those are too delicious.
I like mentioning Lisa. She's in your community and mine. In fact, I think she's part of your Go Giver membership community, and that's what you've been talking about.
Oh, and can I mention her new book that's coming
out? Yeah, I would love to mention her book. And Lisa, if you're listening, I owe a call to you. I do owe a call to you, and I'm going to get to you, I promise. But yeah, let's mention her book for sure.
So she wrote a book, and she co-authored this with Jeff West, who's now a great sales trainer, who wrote a wonderful book called The Unexpected Tour Guide, A Little Parable. He was one of the biggest, most successful Aflac state sales coordinators in the nation for many years, but now he's writing. So he and Lisa teamed up on this book. He's really the writer, sort of like the John David Mann of the team, and Lisa is the, and so the name of the book, and it, I think it's coming out next month, maybe the month after, it's called Said the Lady with the Blue Hair, because it takes place on a, actually there's a story behind that I won't even get into because it takes too long, but the main mentor is a lady with blue hair. And so, and it is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's fantastic for anyone building a direct sales business, but you know what? It's a wonderful book for anyone who's just living a life and wants to live a happier, more joyous, more successful life. I'm so proud of the two of them for what they've done. And I really think, I have a feeling that this book is going to be a biggie in direct.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that coming out as well. And she's just a great mentor and a great person. And
yeah,
we always like to plug people that are doing those wonderful things. You know, you mentioned direct sales, and she's in direct sales. I have a company in direct sales. You speak at a lot of companies that are in direct sales. And you mentioned that a lot of writers and authors or whatnot, that's a big niche, if you will. I always say niche, but everybody tells me, you know, everybody corrects me and says I have to say niche.
I guess, like niche better.
I like niche too. I like niche, but you know, a lot of these authors go into that space, into the direct sales space, but end up writing and training on personal development, like we talk about. Tell us a little bit about your experience in the direct sales arena and why it's such a good place for people to nourish who they are as people and to become better as a person.
You know, I think at one time or another, Cody, every single person in sales, leadership, what have you, has been in a direct sales business.
Yeah.
And if you talk to anyone who is successful and or has been successful in other businesses outside of direct sales, they will practically always say that when they were in direct sales, they learned more about life and about success principles than they had anywhere else, and that they were able to utilize those principles in order to be successful at everything else they did after that. And I truly believe that everyone at one point or another should be in direct sales. If you earn a lot of money with it, wonderful, fantastic. I'm a free market capitalist. I believe that the more value you give to others, the more you have the right to receive. It works for everybody. It's perfect. It's fantastic. But if you never made a cent, right, and you stayed around for a couple of years, you would learn so much about life and life skills. It would carry you for the rest of your life. I truly believe.
Yeah, that's for sure. I give the same advice to people all the time. You know, find something that in direct sales you're passionate about, and just become part of the community, because there's so much good content always there, and mentors that line up to kind of help you. So that's real powerful. I love how you said I'm a free market capitalist. That's great. Now, without getting political at all, I want to talk about free market and the importance of free market, the importance of individual entrepreneurialism. You know, we all have that in us. We all do it. Why is that free enterprise methodology so important to our freedom, our well-being, and living our potential?
Sure. And, you know, and I think one of the saddest things is that most people, when you say the word capitalism, they do not know what it really means.
They don't know what it really means.
That's right. They think it's something much different from what it is. And that's one reason why I always put free market before it, because capitalism is not about the big conglomerates and special interests buying the special favors of government in order to be able to, that's called cronyism.
Yeah.
It is rampant in our country as well as many others. And it is the antithesis of capitalism, of free market capitalism. Free market capitalism is really the only first economic and philosophical system, okay, that honors choice. Yeah. That honors a person to live their lives and conduct their business and pursue happiness in whatever way they see fit, providing that they don't infringe upon the rights of anyone else to do the same. Now, governmentally, it means government's responsibility is to protect the citizenry against force and fraud.
Right.
But otherwise, leave people free.
Leave people free.
Right. Exactly. And this is why, you know, most of the poorest people today in a relatively free market are much better off than 99% of the people 300 years ago.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's where free market capitalism has been allowed to flourish. And again, there's so much that goes with that because most people don't understand. But, you know, it's interesting. And I always want to credit my sources when I hear something. So I remember hearing this from reading this in a book by Glenn Beck. Okay. And what Mr. Beck said was this: capitalism is not about money. Capitalism is about freedom.
Wow.
Okay. Powerful. And that's so, it's so very true. In other words, and here's what's so good about this: in a free market based economy, no one has to buy from you. Okay. Nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. Nobody's going to buy from you because you need the money. And nobody's going to buy from you just because you're a nice person. Right. They're going to buy from you only because they believe that they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. Now, this is beautiful because it means it's incumbent upon the business person to genuinely and authentically focus on providing immense value to that other person. That's why, and I remember one of my heroes, Harry Brown, used to say, in any free market-based exchange, okay, there should always be two profits, the buyer profits and the seller profits, because each of them come away better off afterwards than they were beforehand. This is what free market capitalism is all about.
Well, and when you give people the freedom to develop, you know, to produce, to do things, that's how we evolve as a society. I mean, look Absolutely. At all the products and services mm-hmm. that have been created over last 20 years. I mean, mm-hmm. look at the development over the last 20 years versus the 20 years before that. We just keep evolving, but people have to have freedoms to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't choke the golden goose, so to speak. You know, you gotta let people produce and develop. You know, a book that I read many years ago, long, long time ago, was written by Richard DeVos, co-founder of Amway, and he wrote a book called Compassionate Capitalism.
Yeah, I read that. Great book. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That was a life-changing book for me. So when you were talking about free market capitalism, mm-hmm. I was thinking about that book because he talks a lot about. So for those, yeah, I highly recommend Compassionate Capitalism by Richard DeVos. Really, really good book. You know, I like talking about free market stuff because it really resonates with who we are here. You know, my message is about promptings, and promptings is an inner voice that guides your individuality. You know, I have unique things I can offer the world. You have unique things that you can offer the world that we were sent to the world to offer. And everybody listening has that same genius in them, unique genius in them. So we got to have societies that support that. You got to have societies that support freedom and individuality so people can be who they're meant to be.
It's why central planning does not and can never work. It does not honor the right of an individual to pursue happiness as they see fit. Again, always with the asterisk, providing you don't infringe upon anybody else's right to do the same. But that's what I mean. And that's why it just... First of all, and this is why socialism, you know, again, which is central planning, government ownership and control of doesn't work. It does not yeah. honor people's right to be free, to live their life. And it also assumes that one, and I can't remember who called this the fatal conceit. It might have been Hayek or it might have been Mises, but it's that a small group of elected officials and bureaucrats actually know what's best for hundreds of yeah. millions of people. Yeah. No,
doesn't work that way. Yeah,
does not. It never does. And it's interesting because it's the gift that continues to destroy.
Yeah,
because everywhere in the world that you see it, people are not living good lives, and yet look at how many people here are now starting to advocate for socialism. And if they only knew what they were advocating yeah. for, they would absolutely never be doing so.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, every time I hear your voice, I learn something. I just, it's an honor to know you. It's an honor to call you a friend. I remember reading this book years ago. And for all of our listeners, The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann. If most of you probably already read it or know about it, at least make sure that this is in your library, because this is just valuable information. There's a reason that you've surpassed the 1 million copy mark with your Go-Giver brand, because it's just a powerful message. So I highly, highly recommend everybody read The Go-Giver. And you've got a couple of Go-Giver books. In fact, I got another one right here, The Go-Giver Influencer. I've got that one here. And I've got your other ones. I just couldn't find them in my library. I went and found these real quick, but I couldn't find the other two. Yeah. So thank you. I know that you're short on time today. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on this show. We appreciate your message so much. Make sure you go to berg.com, B-U-R-G.com. Check out the things that Bob is doing, and you'll be a better person for it. So, Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Cody. Appreciate you so much.
All right. Take care now.